What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome back to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. I am here with the idea guy, Russ. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy. And good to see you too. I'm always glad to be with you, Stallion, and get to jive a little bit on a podcast here.
We are not jiving right now. We are just sitting.
You don't like jive?
I mean, I think of dancing when you say jive. So
when I think I think of Fred Sanford.
Oh, okay.
Were you a Sanford & Sons guy?
You know, a little bit, a little here and there.
I went to a baseball game the other day and there was a guy named Lamont on the team. And he was on the it was like a little local baseball, you know, like minor league baseball team. And so that guy's name was Lamont. And I just feel the need sometimes like to be a heckler in the crowd. I'm like, where's Grady at, man? Fred's got the big one. Nice swing.
I bet they were glad to have you there, you know?
Lamont. You just don't hear that name, Lamont. I mean, that's a solid 80s, 70s name right there, Lamont.
That's true.
Sorry, that took us off base.
We got derailed.
Now, you've been gone, though, lately. You were traveling at the beach recently.
Man, I got the opportunity to be on a speaking tour down at the beach. There's much worse places to be speaking, by the way.
I bet.
But yeah, I had a great breakthrough even at one point. I was speaking on networking. Actually reminded me of our podcast from last week. This is the same thing that we were sharing down there at the beach. And had a guy come up to me, Mike, he came up afterwards and said, man, he's a contractor and he was moving to the beach about 400 miles away. And he said, man, I got to tell you, I've been scared to death about moving to a new market, trying to put down roots for my family, trying to build a business from scratch practically. He's obviously been in business for a while, but in his own hometown. And there's a lot of challenges with that. And he said, man, just hearing what you had to talk about with networking has given me all the confidence in the world to come to this market and build a business. And I was blown away.
Isn't that cool? When we get a chance to share this stuff, whether it's in person and like workshops like that, or if it's on the podcast, just to hear the stories is pretty cool.
It was so cool. Yeah. I mean, he even wanted to take a picture with me and all this stuff. I was like, man, I'm like celebrity status.
You're famous, Stallion. I mean, we see people all the time and come up to us like, where's Stallion at? Let me get a picture of the Stallion. Well, I will say too, you know, sometimes we do things backwards. We don't realize that our brain's trained to do it one way. I was actually, when you were down at the beach, I was like completely the opposite. I was up in South Dakota visiting a friend of ours. And he had one of those backwards bicycles. By the way, if you've never seen the YouTube video, Backwards Bicycle, go
watch that.
You got to watch it. It's 7 minutes long and it helps explain so much why we are trained to do things one way. And we believe that we have all the knowledge in the world, but we realize we have very little understanding. Mm. My friend had one of those bicycles built and I tried to get on it. So the concept is here, when you turn the wheel right or turn the handlebars right, the wheel actually goes left. And when you turn the handlebars left, the wheel goes right. It is impossible to ride it. I mean, I would like start to pedal, because as soon as you start to pedal, your body will move to that direction. So let's say I start leaning right when I pedal down with my right foot. Well, immediately your body wants to turn the handlebars left.
Mm-hmm.
It does the opposite. Just it goes gut right reaction. And you go face forward toward the asphalt. Nice. It is pretty scary. So I think that it's so indicative of the way our brain's trained to do things just one way, and we can't get out of that bias. And I love the fact that us as business owners, we know we need to market. We know we need to grow our business. It's the biggest challenge a lot of us face.
We got to create leads. We have to generate interest in our business. But yet we have these biases. They have these old thinking.
There's only one way to do it.
Right. That's why I'm pumped to have Corbett on our show today. Corbett Chandler.
Yeah.
Apex Current.
Yeah. I mean, it is awesome to have someone who is very, the fact that his name of his company is Apex Current, he really is current with what's happening today. Because he comes from a really impressive background where he was helping like soccer stars like in Europe, like Ronaldo. Right. Is that what he said?
Seven figures budget. Yeah. I mean, this is not his first rodeo.
Yeah, he came from a real big kind of ad agency and went down to a very small niche market where they were just crushing it. And he's going to share some really interesting ways that we need to be thinking about marketing today. It's going to be helpful to us because we're still on the curve of this, trying to learn new ways to reach you as our audience. Because at the end of the day, we want to help reach more people. And I'm going to put a plug in for us here, Stallion. Got to do it.
All right.
We need more reviews on our podcast. So yes. If you're listening to this and you've been listening to our show and you haven't given us a review, please go on there and do that. This is a serious plug, but the reason it is that more people need to hear this. And we need to reach more people. And reviews is one of the easiest ways that where people actually come stumbling across your stuff. I'm going to put a plug in there, and we haven't done this enough. Please review our show.
Yes. And we're going to continue to bring value like today's show. So let's go ahead and get to it right here. We are in for a treat today, Russ. We've got Corbett Chandler, our good friend with Apex Current, the digital marketing master.
Yeah, welcome in, Corbett.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here. I prefer ninja over master, just so you know.
Ninja. Does that mean you can kind of get in and out without being seen?
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I tell my team all the time, because we're still small and we're growing, that we have to be like Navy SEALs, because here in Birmingham, there's still a number of these massive sort of agencies we're going up against with hundreds of employees, and we're few, but we can go in and we can be precise and get results. So ninjas, Navy SEALs, masters, whatever.
Sniper even.
Yeah, sniper, we'll take that.
Yeah. With the gun show you got going there, you could be a SEAL, no doubt.
Yeah, you guys have no idea. The size of Corbett's biceps are easily double what me and Russ have right now. He's got the whole entire Greek alphabet on the front side.
It's not
of
true.
His bicep.
Right? Yeah, I'm shorter than both of you guys. Yeah. So,
well, it's the reason I gave him like the smallest headphones. I have these big headphones, just trying to compensate for that, make myself feel good to some degree. I've always had a bigger head than most. So,
well, there's no easy way to segue from that to the fact that we are all about building value with our clients, Corbett. And we've always had this idea that really our entrepreneurial clients are looking to invest in themselves first. That's their greatest ROI. And then into their business as a secondary place to invest. But doing that through a cash system that they own and operate on their own terms. And in that formula, when you put those things together, they're really, really being efficient and really making the best return. So I'm grateful to have you to talk about this idea of digital marketing. It seems like it's really just come on strong in the last several years, but there's a lot of confusion about it. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your story and about your thoughts on what the overall, idea of digital marketing is today.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack there for sure. So going back to my story and why I'm so passionate about what I do is because I absolutely believe 100% that it works. Now, does it sometimes take time to work and we don't get that time to let something develop? Sure, but we can pivot very quickly and test things. So going back through my story, it's pretty insane to think about where I've come from. I graduated from the University of Alabama in 2005. I've moved to LA. I worked on the big brand side for 11 years out in Los Angeles. So we sponsored Cristiano Ronaldo, Leo Messi, David Beckham. We spent seven figures, tons of money. I traveled the world. I'd go to Europe 2 weeks out of the year. we could never manage or measure any of the ROI on any of these sponsorships or these big events that we'd go out and do. We weren't asked to. It was all qualitative. I come to Iron Tribe Fitness in Birmingham, which is my hometown where I'm from. So back from LA, I recruit my wife, who's from California, which that right there shows you I'm a really good salesman.
Yeah, that's the biggest sell you've had.
That is the biggest sell that I've had. My daughter was born out in California. Bring them back, start working for Iron Tribe Fitness as the VP of marketing, which is based here in Birmingham, has 40 locations across the Southeast. And Forrest, the CEO, is like, we're going to track every penny we spend. And I'm like, say what, bro? Like, we don't do that.
That's not you how
know,
that
this
works.
This is supposed to be easy. You know, this spend is like a third of what I was spending. So fell on my face a lot. And really through just a series of crazy events and some of this, to be completely honest with, you know, I battled with addiction, alcoholism. I got viral meningitis. And I came out of that. I was in ICU for 7 days. And as I started to sober up and kind of come out of that, I had this sort of awakening in the sense that I was this VP of marketing and it was like, I didn't have to do anything anymore in a weird way. And I could have, you know, minions do it or whatever you want to call it, partners. And I was like, you don't know anything. Like, you don't have a trade. Like, everybody's got a trade and something specific they can go offer the world. Like, when it comes to a professional trade, I didn't have anything. So started learning digital marketing on my own, very granular level, very rudimentary at that point. And then Iron Tribe actually hired someone named Brad Bearden, who is still my mentor to this day, to train me. And the deal was that he wouldn't press the buttons. He was simply a consultant. So I was rolling out an insane amount of ads on Facebook. These are paid advertisements. So this isn't social media promoting posts, anything like this. This is very, very targeted ads that are set up where the algorithm optimizes and finds conversions, whether those are leads or sales, and it learns and gets better. And so we had 8 corporate gyms. I wasn't running them for the franchise side, but ultimately the 8 corporate gyms, 6 here in Birmingham, 2 in Atlanta, we would roll out 40 to 60 ad sets, which is where you do your targeting, and 2 to 3 ads per ad set times 8 gyms weekly. I was running all those ads. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ads. And I had this crazy sort of trial by fire thing going on and ultimately started consulting. That grew into the business. And so we go, and our tagline is performance-driven marketing. So to bring everything back home, when we set up our contracts with our partners, and we've got some big ones now, it's all about, we have a fixed sort of spend, but ultimately it rolls over to a percentage of their ad spend. And so we only win if they win. So as they increase their budget, right, that percentage that we're getting, the percentage doesn't get larger, but we get paid more as they spend more. They only do that if they see the results. So we track everything that they do.
Earlier, you mentioned kind of going in and being like a SEAL, right?
Yeah.
And I've read a handful of SEAL books, and those are always fun, you know, leadership books. And one of the things I remember about the way the SEALs work is basically, even though they are super organized, detailed in the way they do it, but they go in and disrupt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's their scenario. And Facebook is a disruption technology. And it's changed so much because the way that the old people that I know of marketed on Facebook is that they created a fan page. They built up thousands and thousands of people. People liked it. But am I right that like that world now is done? Like
done.
You can't build yep. an audience no longer on Facebook. So when people hear Facebook, they think, at least most of the ones I talk to, think about it in that way. But what you're doing is completely different.
Very different. We live in Business Manager. And so that environment is, we're literally buying and placing media on Facebook. And I have friends who just think I'm like a social media manager, which we're not. We don't manage.
You're not like
anybody's.
Putting like smiley
yeah,
faces.
Exactly. And memes, cat memes, things like that. We are very strategic. I mean, the amount of data, and I know data is like this kind of scary term, you know, right now because of everything that's gone on. But like, I think Facebook, their number one priority is user experience, which that is their product at the end of the day. So I mean, you know, you could say is money their biggest priority? Probably, but like if the user experience is bad, they're tied together, right? And so they want to provide the best user experience possible to keep you on your phone or your device all day long, every day, every second. And so they want to deliver the best possible ads to you. And so we use targeting to do that.
Joey, I'm waiting for the just detailed questions you have for
what
for him on digital marketing. But
I'm having lunch here. I ask more questions to the guy, you know, the waiter at lunch, but which is kind of my MO. But,
you know, like Joey led into, what is it our clients are looking for, right? They're looking to grow their business. And at the end of the day, marketing is what grows our business. Those are the things we've got to have more people to see. And if we're bringing value to the world, we have something awesome. but nobody knows they exist, that we're dead in the water. So what you're out there doing, I mean, you have a unique gift, and I've seen it personally. I mean, Joey probably has the best experience.
Oh, man. I can tell you the reason why Corbett is sitting in the chair today is we met through a personal friend, a client of ours, and basically he was kind of telling me about Corbett. Man, this guy's really got some cool things he can do with Facebook ads. We met with you. And then lo and behold, I started getting these random ads, and it was Corbett. And the very first one is, hey, you know, you're a business owner. I want to share with you what we're doing, da, da, da. And I'm like, okay, I'm passed on. Literally, I'm, you know, scrolling through my feed in Facebook. And then there's a second video, and it's Corbett in your face saying, hey, the reason why you're seeing this is because I know you watched my last video. And I'm like, what in the world just happened?
It's magic.
I mean, this is for real. So anyway, I'm sure that was a very elementary thing for you to do, but I sat there and I was like, if he can do this on this scale, I mean, this just shows what you're able and capable of doing.
Speak to that a little bit, how targeting and retargeting somebody, like what sort of value that's bringing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I would take a step back and say everything that we do is based in data, right? And so everybody has either prospects or buyers. We take those, we populate those in Facebook, and we look at that audience and their psychographic, demographic information, what their buying propensities are, all of that. So like, I'll meet with executives who are like, this is what we think, right? And I'm like, I got to be honest, I don't care what you think. It's a free market economy. They vote with their dollars, right? Let's look at what the data says, because the data is going to lead us to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? And so that's what we do. We base it in data. We run targeting externally based off that data to go find more buyers based on how you engage in content. So whether it's Joey watching one of my videos and how much of that video he watches, I can retarget him at any level with more content, or lands on certain pages, or page A and not B. So somebody comes to page A, they don't download your guide, which would be on page B, because they make it to the thank you page, we can retarget them to bring them back. So the whole idea is you can make someone's world very small once they engage, and you're going to get priority placement in the Facebook auction. So Facebook, when you push your ads out, your ads go into an auction. There's like billions of decisions happening every second. It's insane. But once someone's engaged with your content, you get priority seating. So if Nike's spending all this money to get in front of the same person, you'll actually get seated above them in the auction because they've actually engaged.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, there's so much of this. And I know if you're sitting there listening to this, you may be glazing over going, wow, I don't understand what Corbett just said. At the end of the day, know that when you're scrolling through stuff and the amount of time that it takes, my understanding of this is the amount of time, even just slowing down your pace of scroll is letting people know. Now, how has this changed? Everybody has seen in the news the privacy issues with Facebook. Has any of that privacy issue adjusted in how you're able to target?
Yeah. So what they did was pull access to third-party data. So you had Axiom, Oracle, and Datalogix, which was a partner with Facebook. And they're these big, massive sort of tech conglomerate companies that have all this data that they were sharing with Facebook. They had a revenue share with Facebook. And by the way, Facebook never got hacked. The third-party data was hacked and pulled. So it actually wasn't Facebook's environment that got hacked. So anyways, they're pulling that third-party access. So we can't get to that stuff anymore. That was very specific stuff. I mean, and theoretically, Facebook still has that data. They were just making their data better, right? And more efficient pulling in from these other parties. But they already know, based off of Pixel, which is a tracking code, they're following you everywhere.
So it just couldn't tell you what brand of underwear Joey likes. It just tells you that he likes to stop on.
Yeah.
He likes to stop on underwear ads.
That's right.
Okay.
That is not true, by the way, for anybody listening. I want to ask a question that I'm not even sure if this is the case, but you did mention you're sitting with a CEO and they're saying, hey, I think this or that.
Yeah.
How often are you sitting there and they have one idea of who their customer is, and then you're able to pull this data and it's not necessarily the case?
All the time. All the time. And they might be right on who their buyer is, actually, but not how their buyer is going to respond to a certain offer creative. So we test it all, right? You're testing, it's message, media, and market. We know the media, we're using digital media, right? So we've got to test the message, creative, and the market, the audience. So they might actually know the audience, but how to get there is what they have trouble figuring out. And we see a lot of brands that have that, right? They have a problem with the messaging. And so we can help come craft that to make it more effective.
So how do you do that? Like, give me just, you're sitting there with me and we're trying to figure out one who our audience is, or maybe we're telling you, but we don't know how they're responding, right? Because sometimes we're just blessed in the fact that business is coming to us and we don't necessarily know why. Yeah. How do you help somebody? You know, you're talking to business owners, entrepreneurs right now. What's the first step you're telling them to do?
So the first step, again, look at the data. And this might be, to start, it could be very rudimentary, very basic. Maybe you have email responses, you have reviews, you have surveys you've done. Go look at what your buyers are saying, right? Look at patterns for words they're using over and over. That's the language they're speaking. Use that language to go find more buyers. The idea is you want to enter the conversation that's taking place in your prospect's mind. So use your buyer's information to craft that messaging.
Can you give me an example of what that looks like? Give me, you know, somebody, you don't necessarily need to mention a company's name if you don't want to, but a client that you were working with and you helped identify what was the conversation their client was having so that you could enter into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do a lot in nutrition and weight loss. And obviously I came from Iron Tribe, which is where I learned all of this or a lot of what I'm doing now. And so a big thing we'll see is that brands are all about brand first. You guys mentioned story brand or whatever. I agree with the fact that you definitely want to speak to the buyer. So you want more you statements and benefits, talking directly to them instead of we, like we can do this. It's more about what you're doing for them. And so specific language, a lot of times, again, like we worked with Yes You Can, who is this, you know, they're 6-7 million top line revenue a month supplement company out of Miami. And they wanted it to be about them, like all about the brand. Ultimately, we flipped that on its head and we talked to the buyer and the confidence they would get from losing weight with the products and different things like that. You got to be careful with claims, but we crafted a message and their goal in February was 1,000 sales at 160, these are online sales, 1,000 sales at $165 a pop for their Transform Challenge. We had over 2,000 that we drove specifically through Facebook. So we doubled their goals based off what we did.
So when you have a business owner who's like, look, I don't play with Facebook, man. That is just, you know, my kids have it or my wife does it. I don't want anything to do with Facebook. I don't want people knowing what I'm doing on the weekend. How do you address that? Because this is not the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you personally want or you personally do. I don't love Facebook either. Like it pays my bills. I actually enjoy Instagram, which Facebook owns. That's where, as a user, I enjoy that environment. I don't really like Facebook, but I do probably 60%, 70% of my media buying on Facebook because it's very effective.
Well, because the numbers are ridiculous. I mean, the percentage of people on Facebook and
2 billion global monthly users.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot. Your buyers are on
there.
That's
a technical.
If you can't find a buyer on there, you're in trouble.
So that is an awesome story of Yes You Can. You said is the name of the company. So give me an idea. I mean, just for people that are listening, I think we're trying to get out of this traditional mindset of what marketing is or has been. Like you said, not being able to track ROI, kind of like a, hey, let's throw it against the wall and see what sticks and hope that we can figure out which one's working the best.
It's good.
Right. You're able to take it much more granularly based on their spend and then see a legitimately, hey, I put in a dollar and it kicks out XYZ dollar. I mean, what's kind of maybe some of your top end ROIs that you're providing for clients?
Sure.
And then what's more of an average? I know you don't want to necessarily, you know,
claims,
but promise things. But
no, for sure. We've had significant, I mean, really like the Yes You Can example in that business as a whole. And that's a unique situation. They have their whole audience is based in the US, but it's a Spanish speaking audience. And so Facebook and the algorithm works off opportunities. And so as the algorithm learns, it gets better at finding more opportunities. Well, there's not very many supplement companies in the US marketing to a completely Spanish speaking audience. So those ads would crush because the opportunity was just evergreen and blue ocean, right? Now, if people were trying to go after supplement companies, were going after you and I, right? We're pretty expensive to get to, but this audience wasn't. So the ROI, I don't even like to quote because it was so significant, but typically we'll go to businesses. I like to talk about a 3-4 to 1 ROI that's controllable, sustainable. And that's what we want to get to. I've definitely had more than that. And in some businesses, MedJet is okay with a 1-to-1 ROI because they have an 80% retention rate. So they know that somebody spends, the likelihood of them renewing and staying with them for a long time is there. So they're okay with breaking even. It just depends on the business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to grow our business. We're investing in ourselves. And this is just technology that's allowing us to do that. There's all sort of challenges in this. Like, what are the biggest challenges the business owners you're facing getting into this digital space? What are the things that you're helping them overcome?
Yeah. I mean, I think the fear of the unknown, you know, so understanding what it is that we do. Because I've honestly worked with companies that are like, I don't know what you do. You do a great job, right? Like they don't even like want to know. So it's explaining it to them. But, you know, the goal is to create a marketing machine for them ultimately. So we know what we're putting in, what we're getting out, and it creates efficiencies. But I think the fear of what's going on with maybe data, you know, right now currently, but also just not understanding it and being used to the traditional media is buying a billboard, buying a radio spot. But all of the traditional media out there, you're ultimately locked into a contract. I mean, I talked to a company the other day that we were talking about some things, and they're literally, they bought a billboard for a year. Like with digital media, something's not working. I can turn it off like in 5 minutes. I can turn it off in a second. So you can pivot very, very quickly, change the creative, and you learn very, very fast. And so that is just the advantage that we have over traditional.
Are there businesses that you have found or just seen in your experience that benefit greater than others? Or is there some business that, you know, the question I always have is like a service oriented business that's located in a specific city that can only do business within that city. Does that business struggle more than one that can go out blue ocean kind of?
No, not at all. You have to understand how you're creating audiences and how you're targeting and what your goals are. But I mean, we work with local businesses that are service based, and we work with national, even global clients, right? And so it's understanding sort of the soup that you need to put together for that. But the opportunity is certainly absolutely there, and maybe even more so on a local level because of what you're able to do just from a targeting perspective and the opportunities that are there, because you're not going to have to spend like you would nationally, right, to get your message out there.
Well, and so compare that to a product-based business that is e-commerce, that kind of thing. Like, is there a better advantage in that case?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like, I like both sides of, you know, whether it's a service business or product business. I like on the product side that I control everything, right? So there's no human involvement. But when it's a service business, we've actually become sales coaches, and I've partnered with people to come on and help on the sales side. But you do, if you're trying to get your message out there or you don't have a massive budget, the fact that you can have somebody come through, not just as a lead, but complete an application potentially based on your business, right? And then you can get on the phone and schedule a consultation, get in front of them and sell them, and with the proper coaching and all of that, you can create ROI that way. So there's certainly opportunities there. And so that's one thing we've started taking on and really shoring up an entire pipeline. So I would say if you're in a service business, and I don't know if you're a real estate agent or whatever kind of business that you're in, you know, if you have somebody coming through, you want to create a pipeline that doesn't have holes in it, right? Because anywhere there's a leak and that consumer can slip out, they're going to go somewhere else. And so they have intention to buy if they've come to you, and you could have sold them, but because of some leaks in your funnel, they're going to go buy from someone else. And that to me is just a tragedy.
So my thought is, and experience in this is that maybe there's a great way to get them to the business. But like you said, as a marketer, your goal is to get them to the business and hope that they do the right things on the back end.
Convert it.
Yeah. How do you help them get there?
Like, absolutely.
I mean, because there may be thousands of people looking at your business right now, but you are not capturing them. You're not following up on them. You don't have the ability to actually turn them into revenue. What is it that you do to help a business owner? What is it that you would tell them to do?
So on the front end, on the ad side, always have an offer. Give the buyer or the potential buyer something to say yes or no to. Okay. So don't do something that's just, you know, brand awareness or impressions. Have an offer. Give them something. This is direct response. So you're pushing them through. Once they come through and they raise their hand and show interest, you want to eat while your food's hot. We always say that. You cannot follow up fast enough. We have a separate business that I won't get into the details of, where we're marketing directly to doctors. If I have a doctor opt in at 11 o'clock at night and I'm up, I'm calling that doctor. Like, I'm calling him right there. I'm saying, hey man, what's up? My sales team isn't in right now, obviously. So I just wanted to give you a call. I said sales team in quotation marks because we don't really have one. But
air quotes.
Yeah. So, and honestly, 9 times out of 10, they respect that. And we actually end up having a conversation. They're up. So why not call them, right? So that's one thing. And then the second thing I would say is that there's this crazy statistic that 80% of sales happen after the fifth call or fifth follow-up. Most people quit after one. So you're missing out by not staying regimented and following up consistently. And that's why we build out pipelines with not only the sales side and how you should call and follow up, but emails, SMS, text, all of that.
Well, what you just talked about, that number of follow-ups, is totally true, because we get in this habit of saying, well, I don't want to come across as a pest. You're like, wait a second. They were asking you for business.
That's right.
They're interested. We have a friend in the industry that their follow-up team calls how many times over the first 13 minutes or something?
I don't know. It's something ridiculous. Like, yeah, I mean, eight times maybe.
Yeah, 8 times in the first 13 minutes a call. And I mean, assuming obviously they haven't got them on the phone, they don't call them back that many times. But
we just talked.
I know the math says that if I keep calling you back, you're going to buy. But that's a good point, though, is that we have to have the ability. If you turn on the spigot of people coming to you, you also have to have the ability to follow through.
Yeah. And so a lot of what we do, because we're talking to pain points, right? Pain converts over pleasure. So when you're going and you're using those you statements and you're being benefit driven, you've put somebody in this like emotional state. And so that's why, again, you want to eat while your food's hot. They're there, but it's kind of like, it's the law of diminishing intent, right? The further someone gets away from a problem, the less likely they are to actually try to solve that problem. I compare it to a hangover, which thank God I don't get those anymore. It's like the person drinks, they're throwing up and they're like, I'm not doing that again. And then the next weekend they do it again, right? So it's the same sort of thing. And so when they're at that emotional state, they've raised their hand, you want to follow up and get them in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, so you mentioned some other like automated ways, emails, SMS, text, stuff like that. You're able to do all that in terms of your system.
We build pipelines out for businesses and business owners, again, because we try to fill all those gaps so there's no leaks in the funnel. There are other things that we recommend that we can't automate. Like you just can't, like you can't automate. So like one thing we'll say with consultations, depending on the business, is, hey, send a video message to them, right? Just saying, hey, Jan, so excited for your appointment tomorrow. I can't wait to see you. You know, looking forward. Here's the office. This is what it looks like, et cetera. This is what you're going to do when you come in. Go through that. And I was just holding my phone like I was taking a selfie video, but send that to them. And that's going to increase your show rate for these service businesses. So there's things like that, that like, yeah, we could create a standard video, but like them using, you know, someone's favorite
personalized,
words. Yeah, it's personalized. And so,
well, and you were mentioning there's technology out there right now that allows you to do that.
Well,
or what technology would you recommend somebody?
So there's not technology for the video message other than we could do an SMS for, you know, it wouldn't say, hey, Jan, right? It would just say, hey, and we could record it and send that out. But like, we like the personalized touch.
So you would have them just use their personal cell phones, record themselves. Yeah. By the way, my wife's in the service industry and she loves taking videos. I mean, it's like her favorite thing. And so I'm going to have her do this and send people messages. What do you think about that, Joey?
Likelihood of that is 0.1%. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, but I think the point of that is there's somebody in the office that will do it, right? If you're not good on camera, get somebody else. But the best way to be good on camera is get on camera.
Just do it. And you don't have to send the first one. You can record it multiple times, right?
That's like, right.
So
well, try over, do
it. I mean, last year I did a video, a 3 to 5 minute video every single Friday. And the first like 7 to 17 were horrible because I would sit there kind of like deer in headlights. But by the last couple, they were still bad. But I mean, I was comfortable at least.
Yeah. And I would say too, in this day and age, you're going to get a lot further being authentic. Mm-hmm. So if you say, if you screw up, whatever, and you send that video message, you're going to get a better response than this perfect, polished, well-lit, whatever video. Like, be authentic. And as long as you're yourself and you laugh at yourself, it's going
to
work.
Well, that's great. So kind of wrapping up here, you're sitting here, you're listening to this, and you want to be like, take Corbett's like top three things to go do when you leave this. Give them like the three steps that someone, a business owner, should take in order to just put the first foot forward.
Yeah. Well, so we didn't really get into exactly the leadership stuff that we talked about, but I really feel like, you know, to me, everything's founded in my faith and the spiritual side of things. But I would say, you know, a very practical thing to do that I've found is, because of my sobriety and all of that, one thing that I do is my diet and my training. And I put that, so the physical is very practical, right? So for me, the physical came first and then more of like tapping into my faith and things like that. So, 'cause it was just like something I could see every day with my diet and stuff. And so like that to me and staying regimented and routine has been very important. And so I respect that. And I really hold that sacred. And so no matter what, I know that's not exactly digital marketing, but I think that's important for anyone to have that sort of sacred time and sort of schedule and be regimented. You're going to do better and be more effective and efficient with what you're doing. I would say too, don't be afraid of any of this. Like, just go for it. Whether you're going to test some things yourself, you're a small business owner, or you're going to hire your local agency, whatever that looks like, this stuff absolutely works, especially if you get someone who's good. But also, you can learn it. I didn't know any of this stuff just over a year ago. I was a brand guy. I knew how to spend money on sponsorships, and I worked a ton of hours and learned it. That might not be possible for you, but you can learn some of this stuff and do it. And then three, if you don't have a marketing budget that you can track and know where your money's going, you don't have a business. I mean, you don't have a business you can manage because you can't control how your business is going to do from month to month. And that's a very scary place to be in. So you need to figure out how to make your marketing budget work for you. And don't ever stop spending. Like, find what works and continue spending, because that's how you're going to be the most effective.
Well, and tracking is huge. I mean, that's definitely a takeaway that I have from this, is that track everything. The fact that you were working with big brand, you were spending millions of dollars traveling Europe and everything, and didn't have that statistical data to follow back on. And then you come and you work with what at the time was a smaller company, and it's grown to be a pretty sizable company, but they were tracking every single dollar. That's a huge thing for us. Everything that's important, we track.
Absolutely.
By the way, when you leave out of here, you're going to see Joey and I are tracking our weight loss.
Nice.
Yeah. We got it written up on the board.
I'm still waiting on the loss part, but
we are tracking. That's good.
We're keeping it. But if it's important to you, you'll actually make mental and physical efforts toward making it
Absolutely.
Happen. I think that's important.
Well, Corbett, as always, you bring a ton of value. I'm grateful to have you on the show. For people to find you, give them a little bit of direction on that.
Just go to apexcurrent.com, apexcurrent.com, and you're going to be retargeted with the videos that Joey was retargeted with. So
they can find you on
that.
Facebook,
yeah,
for
right.
sure.
Yeah, they'll find you on Facebook very soon after. Well, thank you so much for joining in
Absolutely.
With us, and we always appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Joey, marketing is changing. Are you changing with it?
Oof, I sure hope I'm not being left behind on this deal. I mean, was that not unbelievable to hear from Corbett? We are no longer in a hope strategy as it relates to advertising and marketing. It's now tangible. Like, it's precise.
He mentioned the word disruptive. It is totally disruptive. It has
Absolutely.
Disrupted my life, bro. I'm on an airplane, and I'm sitting there after I've had the worst round of golf with my buddy up in South Dakota.
I don't know, man. And it'd be hard to top some of those you and I've played together.
Come on, man. Well, so I am starting to look up golf stuff online, and next thing you know, I am being Facebook targeted. They're like giving me, would you like to hit it further? Are you tired of hooking it into the woods? Do you need to save money on golf balls? You know, follow the golf revolution. I mean, next thing you know, I'm like hook, line, and sinker. I got videos coming to me, emails. It was targeting and then retargeting.
Man, I know what you mean. I just bought that gimbal.
Gimbal?
You know, for the office.
Is that where like Buddy the Elf is? The gimbals?
No. You know, it's the little stabilizer you buy to take videos on your phone. And it's like a selfie stick, but it's stabilized. So you can like run with it and all this kind of stuff. You know, I got targeted so many times. I finally just was like, you know what? That thing's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it.
That's the one where you put your phone in and you start walking around. It follows you.
Yeah. That thing is boss.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Ready for some video. That's
I want to see some video. Well, it is interesting, though, that, you know, marketing is definitely no longer billboards and, you know, postcards in the mail. That stuff is like the blockbusters of old. Like, you know, I went to a conference 3 or 4 years ago, and they called it inbound marketing. And they said pretty soon we're just going to take the inbound part out, and it's just going to be marketing, because people are now coming to you. No longer are you out there putting posts and things like that, hoping people see it. Like, they're going after it. It is targeted. I think he used the word ninja.
And
we do need to be more efficient, more targeted toward what we're doing in our businesses and the way we handle our money. We have to find ways to move with where things are going You know, the old adage in hockey was go to where the puck's going to be.
That's right. Wayne Gretzky, right?
Yeah. Because if you go to where it is, it's going to be gone by the time you get there. It's kind of like when I got that iPhone 7 Plus, the next day they came out with the iPhone 8. I was like, what?
And you held out so long on the iPhone. I mean, it was like it was getting painful. Well, but if you like this episode, that's exactly what we're going to get into next week is how the future of your business looks, right? How to expand 10 times what you see today.
Well, I think if you are challenged by you're not fulfilling the largest role that you have, like you know that there's something bigger, there's a bigger purpose in what you can be doing and creating value for people. If your business could be reaching much more people than it is today, I mean, marketing, as Corbett talked about today, is a great way to do it. But also, I think we have to challenge ourselves to think differently. And if you're feeling that internal kind of struggle,
like fear, scarcity.
Yeah. And you know that there's a bigger plan out there for you. Episode 37, which is next week, is going to be a great opportunity for you to expand your thinking, as Joey said, and start creating a tangible plan. And we're going to lay out some really neat things in that episode.
Yeah. Listen in. Here's a little quick soundbite from next week's episode.
What keeps us, I mean, what I've heard the old adage, you know, the enemy of great is good.
Right.
Is that when we feel satisfied with certain levels and we feel like that's our point.
Enough mindset is what he talks about in the book.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's like, when is there ever enough?
Right. And it's not about like having more for the sake of like storing up, right? That's not the purpose. But like you said, I mean, why we get on this podcast is because we feel like we have a solution that needs to be shared. And we have enough people to talk to, right?
Right?
There's that word enough. We have enough people that we can go see just in our circle.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.